Kalim chapter 14, Mishnah 8, Mafteach Shel Arkuva, a knee joint key. So this was called, it was a key to open a door, and it was called a knee joint key because it had a bend in it. And what they used to do was the doors had bolts that were in the door that used to slide into the door frame, and those bolts, it was placed inside the door. So this key, the bolt either had teeth in it or holes in it, and the key had the reverse. And what they could do is put the key through the hole from the outside, and then let's say the teeth in the key would go into the holes of the bolt, and they could slide the bolt open using the key in this way. So this key was bent, and it was bent so you could insert this bent key in. It had teeth on the end that would engage the holes, and it was called a knee joint key because it was bent resembling a knee joint. So this key, shenishbar mitoch arkuvaso, that broke within its knee joint. In other words, it still had the teeth part of the key broke off, so you only had the handle part, but the handle part had some bend still. It wasn't just a straight line. So tahor, this is pure, according to the first opinion, it is pure. Rabbi Yehuda metame. Rabbi Yehuda says no, it is tame, because it could still be used from inside the door to open the door. So according to the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda, everyone agrees this key, because it was now broken off, it wasn't usable from the outside of the door anymore, because it wasn't long enough to in any way engage the bolt inside. But from inside the door, it could now, it was long enough now to be inserted into the door, and because it was bent, it could engage the hole in the bolt. And even though it was missing its teeth, just the handle itself could engage the bolt and slide the bolt open. So the first opinion says that's not what constitutes a valid utensil, and therefore it is pure, it is not susceptible to tumah anymore. Rabbi Yehuda says that it is impure because it is usable from the inside. That's still enough of a use to make it susceptible to impurity. And both opinions state, which is not brought over here in the Kati, but both opinions state that the other side of it, with the teeth on it, the other half of the key that broke off, that would still be susceptible to impurity because that was still usable. But that's we don't see that over here. Vishel gam, next key is a gamma key, translates it as here, but it's shaped like an L. It's an L-shaped key, and then it's got the teeth at the other end. So the handle was at the one side of the L, and the teeth at the other side of the L. Shenishbar mitoch guma, this key breaks if it breaks within its gamma, meaning right at the bend. So there's no, the handle and the key are totally separate from each other. Tahor, the handle part of this key is now tahor, because both opinions would agree. Because even from inside, because it's straight, there's no bend in it, it can't engage the holes in the lock. It can't be angled down into the holes in the lock, and there's no way of using this handle to open the lock, and everybody would now agree that this part was tahor. Hayibo chafin unakavin, if it had on its teeth and holes. So now what's talking about the other side of the key, right? If it had on its teeth to open the locking mechanism, or holes to open the locking mechanism, it is impure because it is still usable. It is still usable. Netlu chafin, if the teeth are removed, tame mipnei nakavin, it is still susceptible to impurity because it's got holes. So this key had both teeth and holes to open different kinds of locks, and if the teeth were removed of the key, the holes still make it usable and susceptible to impurity. Nistatmu nakavin, if the holes are filled up, tame, it is still susceptible to impurity mipnei chafin, because of the teeth. Nitlu chafin v'nistamu nakavin, but if you take the teeth off and fill up the holes, or sheparzu ze l'soich ze, or if they broke this into that, meaning that if the teeth were bent, or the holes widened to the point where they interfered with each other, so then tahor, the key was no longer usable in any way, and was no longer susceptible to impurity. Next case of the Mishnah, masnenes shel chardal, a mustard strainer, shenifritzu bo shloshen akavim, that three of the holes right at the bottom of the strainer break through milmatan zelasoichze. They're right at the bottom and they break through one to the other. Tohira, they make one big hole. So now this mustard strainer is no longer usable because everything's just going to fall out of the big hole, and it is therefore considered pure. It's not susceptible to impurity because of this big hole making it functionless. Next case, the afar case, which is a funnel, a metal hopper, he's translated as here, a V-shaped funnel. And explains the Kati that it was used in a mill, and they would pour the grain into the top in the wide part of the funnel, and it would be released in a steady flow from the narrower bottom part of the funnel. So this thing, shall matkus, if it was made of metal, tmeya, it was accepted impurity. It was considered a utensil in and of its own right, an independent utensil, and therefore was susceptible to impurity.